Right, already caused chaos. That was supposed to be the second hymn. But we just thought... Well, firstly, can I welcome everybody, especially... I'm George, and please feel really welcome to this service. To include songs, prayers, readings, and a message. A message. Tony and Christine will be providing coffee for us at the end. The collection, which will be taken later, is intended for regular attendees of the fellowship, so please feel free to let the bags pass by. Many people give electronically anyway. There will be a bag for the work of the church and pots for our sponsored children. When I'm introducing a song, please stand if you are able. You can dance if you're able as well, if you choose to this morning. Special permission this morning. And so a really warm welcome to everybody this morning to this celebration, and we're calling it a celebration. It is, absolutely, of Alistair's ministry. Just two or three... Notices, make you settle down in your chairs. The rotas for the next quarter, if anybody's not given me their availabilities for those, I'd appreciate them soon. I'll be in contact with preachers who are going to take up preaching slots probably this week. Next Sunday, we have a special guest speaker from the Missionary Aviation Fellowship. So, assuming he flies in correctly, do come and hear a wonderful story of the work of the fellowship as it does things in many wonderful parts of the world. There's a note from Chris Nash to say Ian Higginbottom, for those who remember him, is coming for lunch at Oasis at 1 p.m. on Monday the 8th of September. And if anyone has been missed out in the invitation who knew Ian and would like to come to that lunch, please have a word with Chris afterwards. And I guess, finally, just to say that the leadership will keep you informed about the process for seeking a new minister. There's a church meeting at the end of September, but just going to I wonder how to start this service. I thought I might start with some famous words, perhaps something from Shakespeare or Jane Austen, maybe from William Wilberforce or Mother Teresa, something from the classics, or if Dave's listening on the recording, something from Gandalf maybe. But I'm afraid I came with something more simple, so I might get thrown out from this, for saying this, but this is what came to mind. They're changing guard at Buckingham Palace. Christopher Robin went down with Alice. Alice is marrying one of the guard. And this is the line which I've been thinking about. A soldier's life is terrible hard, said Alice. So that poem by A. Milne, of course, who the kids will probably know better as the creator of Winnie the Pooh. As Christians, we're not thinking today about soldier-type guards serving in an ordinary army, but about living in God's service. And that can be really hard at times, as Alistair can testify. As a theme for this morning, I'll think a little more about guards and guarding later. For now, I'm going to share some words. Do we have those words on the screen, Joe? Just to say, our real guard, of course, is the presence of the Lord Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. But Alistair has been our faithful... Oh, no, not that one. No, I meant the Bible reading. 2 Timothy. If you happen to have it. I'll read it anyway. The words of Paul to his young successor, Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching, with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. They will invite the children later to go out, and maybe they'll be thinking about patterns. But let's pray. Let's turn to God. Father God, we have sadness with joy today. That sadness is overlain with a wonderful sense of thanks for all you've done for us through your Son Jesus. And so it is a celebration. We especially thank you that Alistair and his family have stood with us and directed us on the way, which is your Son, by the power of your Holy Spirit. Help us to add today one more layer to this robe of grace with which you have clothed us in Christ. And give us hearts and minds that are united in him, and help us always to turn our eyes onto Jesus. So we're going to turn to sing now. Sorry, I forgot to say amen. Yeah, one of those mornings. We're going to turn to a great hymn now, a celebration. We're going to sing To God Be the Glory.
Thank you.
Yes, if you could put that first slide up for me, thanks, Joe. A celebration of ministry. Yes, next slide, please. A few thoughts about guards. When you see a royal guard on duty, the guardsman, guardsperson, is not only there to protect the king or queen, but even more for the sake of the kingdom that their people live in, for all of us. Also, the guard is both an assurance and a signpost. This is where safety lies. Protection lies here. This way is safe. And Alistair has been a great signpost to us, pointing us to Jesus the way. In fact, next slide, please, Joe. In fact, he reminds me of some words from the missionary Jim Elliot, who died as a martyr in South Africa in 1956. I often ponder these words. Jim Elliot said this: "Father, make of me a crisis man. Bring those I contact to decision. Let me not be a milepost on a single road. Make me a fork that men must turn one way or another on facing Christ in me." Alistair, you've been our crisis man. Thank you for standing upright in a place of decision for many people. And we hope there might be more, even today, who choose Christ, to choose Jesus because of you. Right, next slide, please. Now, a guard stands watch at the palace. Just now and then, next slide, please. We have wondered whether you had mistaken Crystal Palace for your correct post. No, but actually, we have all been delighted to be in your team. Next slide, please. Now, a guard, of course, should look fine. Last year, Christine and I watched the changing of this guard outside the Parliament building in Athens in Greece. They had wonderful costumes. Can you just imagine Alistair there? And, well, just for the kids, it's amazing what you can do with Photoshop. I didn't do this one, but it would have been great to have seen Alistair wearing something even more magnificent, something like, say, go on, Joe, this. That image is a fake, of course. It's actually the costume, the St. George costume I wore at Nevin Camps this summer. We have to admit, Alistair, you've always shown real dedication, because the next photo is not a fake. Go on, Joe. And where's Steph? You see your dad on that picture. The idea of a guard, next slide please. The idea of a guard may seem a bit old-fashioned, but the guard is there to protect against enemies, both seen and unseen. And as the verse says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God." Alistair, you've taken the first weight on our behalf of much spiritual warfare and of many attacks on our work for Jesus. And the duties of a guard are very serious. Thank you for watching seriously over us. Next slide, please, Joe. In London, my daughter Joanna and I once visited this is St. James's Palace, when Joanna was there to be presented with a Gold Duke of Edinburgh Award by the Duke, or to meet the Duke anyway. After the ceremony, we were standing outside the palace, just by one of the uniformed guards who was posted by the door, and this foreign tourist came up and started irritating the guard and, you know, sort of getting in his face and making fun of him. And suddenly, the guard leapt forward, partly raised his rifle, and in a voice loud enough to stop the traffic, he said, "You shall not interfere with the royal guard." Whoa. We all jumped. The The annoying tourist was so shocked that she nearly did a somersault backwards. But of course, the guard was absolutely right, because he was posted there for real reasons, to be as ready for a hazardous attack or any other kind of emergency as he was for simple crowd control. Next slide, please, Joe. And the guard is also standing on duty in the rain and the cold and the darkness when no one is watching. A soldier's life can be terrible hard. Many of us can bear witness to times when Alistair's hand or voice was the only one there, along with Jesus behind him, as it were, bringing the love of Jesus to us, helping us most and often most quietly to stay on the kingdom road, frequently at no small cost to him. Thank you, Alistair, for caring for all of us through many dark nights and terrible hard times in our lives and your own family's life. Next slide, please, Joe. Shortly, I'll stop speaking and invite several folks to come and say perhaps a sentence or two, just a word or two, even about how Alistair has helped them to keep growing closer to Jesus. And we'll also have a little time of open prayer. But I must just add two more points. Firstly, one immense word of thanks to one more immense word of thanks to Eunice and Susie for lending lending Alistair to us so generously for so long. Your gift to us has been as precious as to us as his, if not more. I really believe that it's partly because of how well you've done as a family that we stand here as a united fellowship today. Again, thank you. And you're going to have him back now. But we must also recall what it means to be on guard. That's because, as I said to start with, this is the changing of the guard of the King of Kings, no less. We must now live the spiritual soldier's life on our own for a time. We must take on together, for now, more of the responsibility for being on hand and on watch for each other, for staying true to Scripture and to the moving of the Holy Spirit in our community, for lifting each other to the throne of grace in prayer. In the name of Jesus, we are all the guard now in the service of King Jesus. So, last slide, Joe. Next slide, sorry. As you sail away, Alistair, I'll just finish with a Bible verse that came in my verse of the day recently. It's in Acts 20:35, the words of the Apostle Paul, as he said goodbye for the last time to the church he had founded in Ephesus. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of work we must help the weak, remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. So thank you for reminding us of the words of Jesus. Would anybody, if anybody would like to sort of just take a few moments to a couple of sentences or even a couple of words. Is Mary King here? Yes, you said you could sum it up in one word, didn't you?
I've got two now.
Two. Mary's got two words.
Do you want to come up?
Well, you can do, or that people can maybe speak from their places.
I had to write one down because I kept saying it wrong in my head. I kept saying, astounding, well, he is. Outstanding and superb. And thank you.
One or two others want to say anything just for a moment or two? Yes, Jenny?
Alistair, even though you are retiring from the church and ministerial life, you never retire from the Lord's service. And there's a lovely verse in Scripture that says, so if the sun sets you free, you will be free indeed. And I've quoted after that, free to live, free to love, and to serve others in the name of Jesus, in the power of the Holy Spirit. The call of God never leaves us. We will continue to serve in many ways, new ways, and I know the Lord will continue to bless and strengthen you and your dear family. God bless you.
Any others before we turn to worship? Jill? And then Howard.
I'd just like to thank Alistair for all the love he's shown, not only to me, but to Chris. It's been outstanding.
understanding. In all my years as a Christian, I've never known a pastor like you. So thank you very much for your love and your care.
And
the word that came to me was signposts. Alistair has faithfully been a signpost to Jesus for every one of us. And the best sort of signposts are the ones that direct you without you actually even noticing them. And throughout Alistair's ministry, it has always been more of Jesus and less of him. And I'm just so grateful to him for that.
Well, Brendan.
Jesus prayed for his followers that they would be united. And it's interesting, that is a prayer that has not always been answered as we would wish. But under Alistair's leadership, this church has been remarkably united, almost uniquely among students. And I think that's been because of his sensitivity and tact, but also his clear showings of Jesus himself. And I find most impressive, I'm most grateful for. Thank you.
We won't embarrass him any longer. Oh, all right.
My word would be rock. You've been absolutely steadfast and has passed for us to stand by and move forward.
Wonderful. So we'll turn now to worship. We're going to sing three songs and the collection will be taken in the third one. And after that, the children, I think, will be going out to the foyer where I think there's some interesting things for them to do. So we're going to start with King of Kings, Majesty.
Just a savior.
Of giving back to you, even our whole lives, as well as these monetary gifts today. Thank you in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus. And we bring before you the children as they go out to do things in outside. We just ask that you'd really bless them and encourage them in all the wonderful things of youth. As they grow and think about Jesus themselves. In your name, amen.
Amen.
Perhaps we'll turn to prayer, and perhaps a couple of people might like to give thanks for the vision of Jesus that Alistair has given us. Amen.
Father God, we thank you that we are running a marathon and not a sprint, and you call us to go on and to keep going on. May we be people of perseverance who keep our eyes firmly fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Give us that gift of perseverance, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Father, thank you that Alistair's been constant, Lord, all the time. Lord, as he's been with us. And Lord, he's never swayed or wavered. Lord, he's just been there. And we just thank you for that, Lord. And we thank you for his leading, his preaching, Lord, and his prayerfulness, Lord. And especially, Lord, at the encounter, Lord, that, Lord, he's always been there with us from the start. And Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for all that he's done for each one of us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Now we come before you, Almighty God, in praise of you and of our Lord Jesus, who came to walk amongst us. We praise you for his death on the cross, for his resurrection, the sending of the Holy Spirit who dwells in every Christian. We confess our faults and ask for forgiveness through the name of Jesus. And we thank you for that forgiveness and for the whole world created for us and given to us. And we thank you especially for Alistair and his family and pray for them and their future and for ourselves. We pray for those also in special need, for Harold Jinks in hospital, recovering from his broken hip, for Jill Bell on her new medicines, for Marna in advance of her surgery the week after next, for all the others who come to our minds, for Joe Metcalf, and especially for Susie as she moves to a new house with all the challenges that that will involve. And we bring the whole family before you, as well as all others on our hearts. So we bring our church, our town, our nation, and the wider world before you, especially those who are under attack in Ukraine, those held captive in Gaza and under attack there, those besieged in the city of El Fasher in Sudan, and many others. Have mercy, Lord, upon our frail and fragile world and upon us. We ask these prayers in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now we're going to turn to Scripture and read the well-known passage Alistair has chosen. Very well known. It was my mother's favourite. John chapter 14, verses 1 to 6. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, so that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Just pray, Lord, that you could give Alistair the ability to illuminate that word to us through the power of the Holy Spirit, and that you would bless his message to us now. In your precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Maybe get all the lights off, please. Thank you. Thank you so much, first of all, to George for leading us in worship and, of course, my thanks to all of you for all the lovely things you've said and for all the prayers. The answers to some questions seem a bit too obvious, don't they? So if I said to you, in which country did Panama hats originate? You'd say to me, but actually it's Ecuador. If I said to you, which seabird has the Latin name Puffinus Puffinus? You would say to me, but actually, it's the Manx shearwater. If I said to you, what kind of animal is a Bombay duck? You would say to me, You wouldn't say fish because it's my last service. You would say to me duck. But actually, of course, it's a fish. One of the ugliest fishes I think I've ever seen. So I thought I'd start my final sermon with a question with a really obvious answer. Do you ever find yourself with a troubled heart? I do. Sometimes it's the little things that trouble us, isn't it? A few months ago, we lost our green wheelie bin. Wheelie bin men turned up on Wednesday to empty them. Ours has got a big number on it. Go down at the end of the day to collect it. Disappeared. Checked up and down the road, looked up people's drives, picked over walls, had a word with our neighbours to see if they'd seen it. Disappeared. So we thought to ourselves, well, we'll just leave it a couple of weeks. The bin men will be back for recycling 2 weeks later. Someone will put it out, it's bound to turn up. Bin men turn up 2 weeks later. Nowhere to be seen. Disappeared off the face of the earth. Huge green wheelie bin with the number of the house on it. Disappeared. Sometimes it's the little things that trouble us. More often, it's the bigger things. My heart is troubled because of all that I'm seeing going on in the Middle East, the unspeakable suffering, especially the children in the Middle East, in Sudan, in Ukraine. My heart is troubled because our children, our grandchildren, are growing up in a country that seems to be totally coming apart at the seams, spiritually, philosophically, morally, economically, in so many ways. My heart is troubled because so many people are indifferent to Jesus, who he is, how much he loves them, how much they need him. My heart is troubled because I know many of you have got troubled hearts because of all that you're going through at the moment. And I'll be quite honest, my heart is very, very troubled this morning because I'm leaving you. And it is absolutely gut-wrenching to have to say goodbye to you all. And we know how much we're going to miss you. I thought my emotions were all over the place yesterday. I don't know where they are today, but I hope to find them sometime later somewhere. But yeah, you feel completely scrambled inside. And I really wrestled with what to share with you on this final Sunday. And as you know, we've been in the series looking at the I Am sayings of Jesus. And the next I Am saying of Jesus is this one. John 14:6. Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And I thought to myself, goodness me, what better text could any minister have for their final sermon than these extraordinary words of Jesus? Because all I want for you is that you will believe and hope and trust in the one person who can bring calm to a troubled heart and peace in the midst of fear and hope in despair and love when you feel that everything has fallen apart. So, John 13, it's the night of the Last Supper. And the chapter tells us it is a night of confusion and misunderstanding and failure. I mean, first of all, there's the embarrassing episode of the foot washing incident. Peter completely misunderstands what Jesus is doing when he washes the feet of his disciples. Doesn't get it. And then in verses 18 to 21, Jesus drops an absolute bombshell. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, one of you is going to betray me. I mean, you can hear a pin drop. And then Jesus says this, I'm only going to be with you for a little while longer, then I'm going to leave you. I mean, can the evening get any worse? Jesus is going to leave them. We've left everything to follow you. We've stuck with you through thick and thin. We thought we were going to share the glory of your future reign. And now you're telling us you're going to leave us. Can the evening get any worse. Well, it's too much for Peter. He just has to pipe up at this point. And Peter says very bluntly, "Lord, where are you going?" And this is how the final embarrassing episode of the evening begins. And very calmly, but very enigmatically, Jesus says this: "Where I'm going, you can't follow now, but you will follow later." Well, of course, Peter doesn't get it. He doesn't understand. So he says, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I'll lay down my life for you. Will you really lay down your life for me? Tell you the truth. Before the cock crows, you'll disown me three times." Confusion, misunderstanding, failure. It has been a bad, bad evening, hasn't it? I mean, not only is there the embarrassing episode of the foot washing incident, there's all this talk about betrayal, the prediction of Peter's denial, and now what has Jesus said? "I'm going away. I'm going to leave you." Which is why Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." And he says, of course, the answer to trouble is trust. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Trust in my sovereignty. Trust in my love. Trust in my goodness. And then Jesus says, "Let me talk to you about one or two things. First of all, let me say this to you. I'm not just going away. I'm going to my Father's house. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you?" Now, you may be more familiar with the Old King James Version, the Old King James translation of this verse. Remember this verse: "In my Father's house are many mansions." And we quite like the idea, don't we, of the prospect of an eternal mansion rather than an eternal room. And many of our old hymns also quite like the idea of having an eternal mansion. So there's this old hymn: "My Jesus, I love thee. In mansions of glory and endless delight, I'll ever adore thee in heaven so bright." In mansions of glory. You can sort of imagine yourself, can't you, sort of living in the spiritual equivalent of the Cheshire Golden Triangle. You know what I mean? Wilmslow, Alderley Edge, Prestbury, counting how many bedrooms are en suite, how many servants you're going to have, and so on. Oh, there's this one, "Child of the King." I mean, look what's happened here. Talk about an upgrade. "A tent or a cottage, why should I care? They're building a palace. Another palace for me over there." And, you know, you can almost think to yourself, well, they've managed to exchange the mansion for the spiritual equivalent of Buckingham Palace, haven't they? Sounds more like a Premier Inn than a palace, but actually, rooms is the better translation. And what Jesus is saying is this: "I know you're troubled about me going away. I know you don't understand. I know you are confused, but there is room in heaven for everybody who trusts in me. And it is my going away through the cross, the resurrection, and the return to the Father's house that will prepare the way for you to go there as well." And Jesus adds, "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." You know the story of Jesus. He laid aside the glory and the majesty and the power of heaven to be born in a humble stable. Soon he is going to die on a cross, be raised triumphantly from the dead, and return to his Father's house. But the day will come when he will return. He will come back in glory and majesty and power. And I want to assure you that his return assures us that history, our world, is not in the hands of world leaders, whatever it may look like, in Trump, in Putin, in Xi, in all the others. And history is not meaningless. And it's not just spiraling out of control, because he is the Lord of history. History is his story, and he's got history in his hands. And when he returns in glory and majesty and power, the whole of the universe is going to be redeemed and renewed. There'll be a brand new heaven and earth. All human rebellion, all moral chaos, all sin will be brought to an end. Sinners will be judged. And all those big things that trouble you, and all those little things like wheelie bins, will finally be put right. And there'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. And those who have trusted in Jesus will have a brand new resurrection body, no more aches and pains, and will see him face to face and be with him for all eternity. Joy unspeakable, full of glory. And Jesus hasn't finished. And he says, you know the way to the place where I'm going. And what Jesus is saying is, have you been listening to what I've been saying to you? Because surely you know by now that the way I have to go is the way of the cross. I've spoken to you about being betrayed. I've spoken to you about being lifted up. I've spoken to you about dying. So surely you know by now that for me, the way to my Father's house, the way to that place, is through the cross. And then Thomas chips in. We had a little bit of A.A. Milne earlier. If you want a picture of Thomas, Thomas is just like Eeyore. You know Eeyore from A.A. Milne's Winnie the Pooh? Thomas is always very gloomy, always very negative, always really pessimistic. You've probably met people like Thomas. You know, he's definitely a half-empty sort of person. And Thomas chips in, and he says, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Very gloomy, very negative, very pessimistic. And yet Jesus is so sensitive to Thomas, gloomy, pessimistic Thomas. And he stops speaking about his own way to the Father, and he starts talking about the way the disciples must travel to the Father. And he says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It is an extraordinary statement, isn't it? I am the way. Spoken by the one whose way was the ignominious shame of the cross, the cruel death of a condemned criminal. I am the truth, spoken by the one who is going to be condemned by lying witnesses, betrayed, denied, disowned by his own disciples, despised and rejected by his people. I am the life, spoken by the one who's going to be nailed to a cross, whose broken body, whose battered body will lie in a dark tomb, sealed by the authorities, guarded by Roman soldiers. It is an extraordinary statement. I am the way to God. I am the truth of God. I am the life of God. I am the way to God, reconciliation. I'm the truth of God, illumination. I'm the life of God, regeneration. Without Jesus, the way, there is no going. Without Jesus, the truth, there is no knowing. Without Jesus, the life, there is no living. And Jesus says, there's only one way to the Father, and it's through me. And that, of course, is where the Christian message bites the hardest, isn't it? See, in one sense, the Christian message is a very broad message. Jesus hangs there on the cross, and he says, anyone who wants salvation, anyone who wants eternal life, anyone who wants that place prepared in heaven can have it, because I'm never going to turn anyone away. Everybody is welcome, whatever your colour, whatever your creed, whatever your culture, whatever your background, your education, your family, whoever you are so welcome. But In another sense, the message of Jesus is a very narrow message. Because Jesus is saying to have salvation, to have eternal life, to have that place prepared in heaven, you must turn away from your sins and place your faith and trust in me as your Saviour and Lord. No other way will do. No other truth will do. No other life will do. I'm the only Saviour there's ever been, or there ever will be. And of course, that offends many, many people today, doesn't it? Because many people will say to you things like this: well, it doesn't really matter too much what you believe as long as you're sincere. You know, it's your truth that matters. You do you. It's what's true to you, what matters to you. That's truth. Oh, yeah, well, all religions lead to God. Let's be honest, they're much the same, not much to choose between them. Just working our way up to God through different routes, up different mountains. It's jolly arrogant of Christians to stand there and say, Jesus is the only way to God. Of course, dig down deep enough and you will find that pretty well all philosophies, all religions, all worldviews are at some point exclusivist. Because they will say to you, well, actually, we are the best road to God. Or in many cases, we are the only way to God. And even the inclusivists who say that all religions lead to God are at some point exclusivist. Because the moment you say to them, well, actually, I believe there's only one way to God and it's through Jesus, they'll say to you, well, I can't accept that. So the inclusivist has just excluded you. There we are. But Jesus exclusively says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, of course, that doesn't mean that all the other religions have nothing to offer. There is moral, there is philosophical, there is spiritual truth in most of them. But it's only the God of the Bible who has made himself known and who wants us to have a relationship with him. But the only way to have that relationship is exclusively through Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. And let me put it really bluntly. Nobody will be saying in heaven, what a wonderful chap Muhammad was for getting me there. Nobody will be saying what a wonderful chap the Buddha was for getting them there. Nobody will be saying what a wonderful chap Brahman was for getting them there. Nobody will be saying what a wonderful person I was because I did my own truth and I've got myself there. Nobody will be saying, well, it didn't really matter what you believed too much, I just sort of got on with it. Nobody's going to be saying that. There is just going to be one chorus in heaven. Do you know what it is? Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honour and glory and praise. The way, the truth, the life. Well, Jesus began by saying, do not let your hearts be troubled. And he said the answer to trouble is trust. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Trust in my sovereignty. Trust in my love. Trust in my goodness. And as I said earlier, my heart is troubled this morning. It's really, really troubled. I think it's got even more troubled now because I'm going away. And it's, as I said earlier, it is absolutely gut-wrenching to have to say goodbye to you all. And I apologise if my head has felt very scrambled this morning and nothing articulate's come out of my mouth. But it is just so hard to say goodbye. And we love you all so, so much. And as I said yesterday, when you've been loved a lot, when you love a lot, you grieve a lot. And that adds to the pain of leaving, of course. And maybe your heart is troubled this morning as well. Maybe it is the little things that trouble you, the wheelie bins. In the end, Eunice had to phone up the council And she had to make a big confession. We've lost our green wheelie bin. It doesn't sink much lower than that, does it? And Eunice said, well, really sorry, we've lost it. Could we possibly have a new one, please? So the woman on the end of the phone said, well, yeah, can we have your address? Eunice gave it to her. She says, oh, we know all about that. The wheelie bin lorry ate it. Happens all the time, she said. We've ordered you a new one. Would you like to see our new one? And it hasn't been eaten since. And it's living happily ever after in Booth Avenue. Wouldn't it be wonderful if all our little troubles and our big troubles could be sorted out just like that? But little troubles or big troubles don't always get sorted out like that, do they? Your heart may be troubled today, troubled because of what you've got going on in your life, troubled about what you see going on in the world around us, troubled at what you think the future may hold for you as a family or your own personal circumstances, of course, as well. I think whatever may be the case, the answer's always the same. It's do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Trust in my sovereignty. Trust in my love. Trust in my goodness. And as I'm going away, I'm also going away knowing that no minister could have had a more wonderful church than you lot. You have been absolutely wonderful to us as a family. Your love, your prayers, your support, your encouragement has meant more to us than we could ever put into words. You have blessed us in ways that you might not even be aware of, but you have been absolutely wonderful, and it's been a complete privilege to be here for nearly 16 years, which adds, of course, to the sadness of leaving you. But I'm also going away knowing that I'm leaving you in the hands of a fantastic leadership team. We are so blessed with the leaders that we have here. I've already given my apologies for the meeting tomorrow night, but we are very blessed with our leaders. But most of all, I think I'm going away knowing that I'm leaving you safe, safe in the loving arms of someone else, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is the way, the truth, and the life, which is why I want my final words in this sermon to be those words. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honour and glory and praise. Amen. And let's pray together. And Father, we are just overwhelmed that you love our world so much that you didn't spare your one and only Son, but you freely gave him up for us all. And we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for his coming, for his teaching, for his life. But most of all, we want to thank you that he died on the cross for us. He bore the guilt and penalty of our sin. He rose triumphantly from the dead to reign as Lord of life. And Father, when we look at our own lives, we recognise that so many things we have said and thought and done, and so many things we haven't done, so many good things we haven't done, have displeased you. Lord, there are many sinful things we've done. There are many good things we haven't done. So, Father, will you please forgive us? And will you give us the grace to turn away from our sins and commit ourselves once and for all to Jesus as our own personal Saviour and Lord? That we too may know salvation and eternal life and that place prepared in heaven through the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. Amen. And with a slight break from tradition, I also wanted to finish with two songs. I know we don't like change, but I've chosen a couple of worship songs that mean so much to me, simply because they are all about Jesus. So we're going to stand and sing, if we're able, "Jesus Shall Take the Highest Honour," followed by "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus."
Thank you.
And let's pray together. And Father, we thank you so much for Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. So Father, will you help us to walk in his ways, rejoice in his truth, and share his glorious risen life. And the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you and remain with you for always. Amen.